10 most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Number 10, Psalms 14:1, which says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." I remember when I was in college, I saw this bumper sticker and it said National Atheist Day, April 1st. And then it pointed towards Psalms 14:1. And the indication was that it's foolish to not believe in God, trying to get the atheist to think maybe it's not so smart to reject God. Well, I remember thinking, what does this verse actually mean? Well, I decided to go back to the context and read Psalms 14:1 and the verses that fall in itself. And I realized that this verse is not actually saying that the atheist who doesn't believe in God is the fool. It means something very different. Let's read Psalms 14:1 through 3 together and listen carefully to what is being said here. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's none who does good, not even one. If you read this verse in context, what is it actually saying? It's not saying the atheist or the one who doesn't believe in God is the fool. It's talking about behavior is foolish. It's talking about people who live their lives as if God doesn't exist and live immoral lives. That's foolish. So here's the irony. Can you be a Christian or say you're a Christian and live as if God doesn't exist? Yes. Can you be a non-Christian who lives as if God doesn't exist? Yes. So the fool is not someone who is just an atheist. The fool is somebody who rejects God's moral standard and lives accordingly. So let's be maybe a little bit less quick to call somebody else the fool on the outside and look within as Christians and ask ourselves first, are we living the way God wants us to be? Because if not, maybe we're the ones who are the fools.
Amen. Let's do something first. I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to do it anyway. When you're a leader, you can do that. You just get in trouble later, that's all. Jerry in the back is going through something physically where there could be some internal bleeding. They find out more on Monday. And would some of you get around Jerry? I just want to pray over him now. He's part of our family, and I think we stand up for each other and our family when we're going through things. And so you think about anyone ever been through something medically where you're not sure what's going on? Can you imagine what Rue's dealing with right now? So let's do this together. Father, I pray right now over this man, over his heart. Just the time I've known him, there's a sweet spirit, there's a gentleness right now, and there's also just a nervousness of what's going on. And so, God, you know what's going on. I pray for his physical, right now, just through his body, I pray for complete healing. I pray that he will, the equilibrium is there, the balance is there, the inner issues that he's been having are just gone. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you for who he is. Be with Rue as her mind goes through what's going on. And just may they know they are loved, they are protected, and they are in the hands of the God Almighty. And it's in your name that we pray this, in your name, Lord God. Amen. 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 Who likes to be called foolish? Who's ever been foolish? There's some honesty. This verse, this passage is quite interesting, and we're going to dive even further. Now, these videos, some of you may say, you know, I'm not sure what I think about this particular video. Keep in mind, they're taking 2 minutes to describe something that is much deeper than that. But what these videos have done is they've gotten us even deeper into the Word. So it's interesting. We're going to go from the Old Testament where this verse is found into the New Testament where this verse is addressed and help us understand what is foolishness. And if you're out there and you're like me, you don't want to be a fool, let's pay attention, because I don't want to be the fool. I want to be someone who is full of wisdom. And because a fool, what kind of direction does a foolish person give out? If you go up to someone, you say, hey, I need to know how to get to Lincoln Park, you know, and you're downtown Chicago, and someone has no idea, starts giving you directions, where are you going to end up? Well, you don't know. You're going to be more lost than you were before because they didn't know what they were talking about. I want to be someone who knows what I'm talking about. Amen with me? So let's understand this together. We are in Psalms 14:1. Only fools say in their heart. So what does this mean? Your heart is it's like what we talk about as our belief system. So if you've asked God into your heart, you're saying, I believe in God. He is in my heart. He is a part of my life. So only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. So this is addressing, and as we move on, I think we're addressing a couple things. There are some people who believe that there is no God. And like Sean said, there are some people who may say they believe it, but they just live. Their actions would show you that they live like there is no God. So they don't come under any particular authority but their own. So only fools would say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. But then it moves on. Now listen to who God addresses here. The Lord looks down from heaven on the what? The entire human race. So one minute we think we're talking about one thing, only a fool would say that they don't believe in God, but God is looking at the entire human race. Now what this passage is addressing really is sin and the destructive power that it has over our lives. So the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. Now, would you say that, well, the answer is going to be yes. There are some people who seek God. Are you with me? That's what I thought. Then I read this and I get more confused. Wait a second, what's going on? No! All have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. Amen. You are dismissed. Go preach that one to the world. Is anyone confused? I think this passage is ignored by many preachers because it doesn't bring out the warm fuzzies. When you guys leave, I like to leave you with a challenge on what God can do in your lives and what you can do through Him. And we're just hearing here that, man, there's not even a one. That includes you and us. There's not even a one, not a single one that's good. So you're thinking, what is going on, God? What are you trying to say to us? Well, Paul addresses this very passage. And matter of fact, I'm going to read a little bit to you, and then we're going to go into Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Paul is talking to Jews. Now, Jews, I mean God, created Israel as his chosen nation. So Jesus was born a Jew. And so these Jews thought, hey, the Messiah's coming through us. We're it, man. We're the thing. And so these Jews are arguing with Paul, even saying, hey, if we sin, it kind of shows God's, you can see where you need God's glory, where he needs his wisdom. So really, is sinning, it was kind of a screwed up thing, but is it really all that bad thing? Are we not even pointing God to how God writes or how righteous God is when you can compare our sin? And so Paul's listening to this, and he says in verse 9, well, then, do we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jew or Gentile, are under the power of sin, as the Scriptures say. And then Paul reads the Scripture. Tell me if this rings a bell. Not one is righteous, not even one. Not one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Where's that from? We just read it. So he is quoting Old Testament. Now, is anyone uplifted yet? Not yet. If you're like me, you're still wondering, okay, Paul, so what's going on? And then he brings it together where I think the whole context of this verse now makes sense as to why we can say not single one. Right here. For everyone has sinned. And so in the Old Testament, the Messiah had not yet come. He had not yet died for the sin. So there were prophets who were godly men and women, and they received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ years later when Jesus gave his life for us, when he shed his blood. But no one could get to God because of the sin. No one could truly understand. We all face our own ideas of what we want to do, and we all had times of failure. And so it was sin as to why there was that not even one, because we are all under the penalty of sin. But this is where it gets good. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet, I'm telling you, a yet and a but, those are great words sometimes. Yet, God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. So we need Jesus in order to be free from that sin, in order to have that wisdom, in order to have that knowledge. Because if we are living simply under our own knowledge, it is foolish, and we are living as fools. So the two distinctive things we have to pay attention to here is, yes, those, you may say, like agnostics or atheists, people who come out and say that either there is no God, or if there is, I don't totally understand anything about him, and so I'm not going to follow this word. They are going to live foolish lives and spread foolish ideas because they are living in the sin of the world and they are not walking in the wisdom. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that's great. But if you say that with your mouth, but you're living a life of sin, and you're living a life that is not according to this word, you are but a fool as well. Because what you can say with your words, but when you don't follow the word of God, that's foolishness. That is not wisdom. It's when you proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, you ask him into your heart, and then you come under the authority of the word of God, that's when wisdom comes in. And that's when the foolishness disperses. Why? Because you are not living in the sin of this world. You're living for the grace of Jesus Christ. You have been pardoned, and you are now following the word of God. And through that, that's what your life is showing. It's showing the word. We talked about a few weeks ago or last week about following instructions. When you follow the instructions, you can assemble it as the Creator designed. Well, God has a design for our lives, and it was made possible through the grace of Jesus Christ for dying for our sins. So we can live as fools, as non-believers in a God, or we can live as fools, as believers in God, if we do not walk according to the word of God. That's why it's so important that it's such a big part of our lives. It's the power of God that revealed Jesus to us. It's the Holy Spirit that works through us. And it's through Jesus that the penalty of sin does not pull us down. We are no longer fools. We live in the wisdom of God because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so, listen to this. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are not made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Did I read that wrong? Whew, I just completely screwed up that theology. You ever say something and you're not sure what you said, but it just wasn't right? That's what I just did. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. So now you're right. Now he can come in. Now you're allowing him. That's the craziest thing about God. Think about the beginning times. Who created sin? Who was the first one who allowed sin to enter this universe and or world? Anybody? Someone before that. Satan. Satan looked at God and desired to be him. He wanted to be above him. He wanted his power. He wanted his beauty. He wanted his glory. Satan, or Lucifer at the time, he was a high archangel. But he wanted more. And that desire to want more became sin. And it says that he took one third of the angels with him. He deceived them into, hey, you can have a better life. This God, this leader, he's not it. Let's turn against him. So even in the heavens, guess what was given? Choice. Satan had a choice. The angels had a choice. We have a choice in how we're going to live. That was the one thing that God gave us that makes things not robotic. Sometimes you hear people talk about predestination and some verses that say, well, if God already knew what was happening in my life, why do I have to live it out? We have a choice. Everyone has a choice, but he lays out the truth in front of us. And when we follow this truth, our life has purpose and it has meaning. And it's going to be full of wisdom because we are following the creator of all things. We are following the wisdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we walk away from that, whether we're professing Christians or atheists, when we walk away from this, our actions are foolish. And they will only give out foolish advice. So we have to be very careful in comprehending this verse, how important it is to live free from sin. And that is made possible by following the Word of God. And that's made possible by reading the Word of God. And this is made possible by having the freedoms to read the Word of God. Does anyone have someone standing at your doorstep in the morning demanding your Bibles or your phones or getting you in some sort of trouble for reading the Word of God? No, we have been given complete freedom to take all of this truth and just take it from our minds to our hearts and to live it out. Not everyone has that freedom, but we do. So we have to be so very careful not to take advantage of that freedom by not using it or by feeling a certain way about something and saying, well, I know what the Bible says and I love God, but we live life in a different way. Now we're acting as a fool. Why? Because we're sinning. Sin is foolishness. Sin is a separation of God. God wants no separation from us. A sinful lifestyle leads to foolish actions, whether we're walking with God or not. Sin has that kind of power. Jesus came to take our sin and set us free. I found this verse, 1 John chapter 3. Four through six. Listen to this. Everyone who sins is breaking God's laws. There are laws in here. There's direction in here. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take your sins away, and there is no sin in him. That's why it was possible for him to die for us. There was no sin in him. He lived a life free from that sin. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning, it's weird how they word this because you're thinking, okay, so I'm born again, I love God, so I can sin no more. Well, there is no penalty. We're still humans, but there's no penalty. But listen to the way they word this. Anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. So I think the dangerous part is some people that say, hey, there is a God. Yeah, I believe in all that. But they're not following. They're not in the Word. They're not following it. In a way, it's like, do they really even, their actions would say, no, I actually don't believe in that. Who's ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? That is so, so, so true. And so this isn't like a condemning message because not everyone, I understand, feels conviction, and I'll just do it anyway. But what I want us to understand is the importance when we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are Jesus to these people. Because the people of the world, the people that are lost, they're not really diving into this word, trying to comprehend what it means and how to apply it. They are attracted to what they see. And when they see Jesus through you, through your actions, there is power in that, and you are attractive. But we, when we proclaim with our mouth, but not with our actions, that is just confusing. And I think that's where God laid out the verse that talks about hot or cold. Because hot is, man, you're on fire for God. Cold is, I don't. But lukewarm, you want something that you're not living out. And so let's not live as fools. A sinful lifestyle leads to foolish actions, whether we're walking with God or not. But Jesus came to take our sin and to set us free. Examine your lives right now. Let's just have an honest moment. Examine your life. Is there something in your life when you just know? Maybe it's one or two or three or ten things, but you just know that you're feeling convicted about right now. You know what the Word of God says about it, and you know why you do that. Maybe it's something you desire. Maybe it's addictive behavior. Maybe it's something you don't want to give up because of what you think it does for you. But if that is sin, if the Bible labels that as sin right now, that is foolishness. And God wants that rid from you. He wants complete connection with you. He doesn't want anything gapping. He wants that bridge going across from you to Him. So what I want us to do is I just want us to give that to Him now. If there is sin in our lives, and maybe, you know, in this world nowadays, it's almost like if you can't see it, it's not there, but that's a lie. Maybe you've done a great job of hiding it. Maybe not even so much that. But let's just pray right now. Lord God, I pray for the areas of our lives that we have not handed over to You. Father, I pray that we will let go of that. If it's addictive behaviors, if it's something that is just so embarrassing and we just think that we're trapped, may we just be open and go to someone. Man, people, come to someone that you love to trust that's a boring Christian. Come to me, but let's lay that down, because Satan wants nothing more than for us to... He can hold us captive if he can hold us in sin. So right now, lay that down. If you're struggling, you need accountability. Talk with someone you can trust and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. I'm embarrassed by it, but I need that sin out of my life. I need that foolishness gone. I need for my actions to equal my words. Lay it down. Ask for help. Get help. Stay in prayer about it. Talk to God about it. Understand. Find scriptures and just understand the direction He would want us to go. But let's stop living in sin. Let's stop that thing that's pulling us. But we're trying so hard to live for Him, and then something is pulling us back. And I've watched it in my own lives, Lord God. You've seen it where it's created a bitterness in me and an anger in me, and it's caused me to even treat people worse at times. Father, I pray that we will just get rid of that. We will understand and feel complete freedom from sin, knowing that Christ, You paid that penalty. So Lord Jesus, in Your name right now, over each and every one of us that are desiring this, cleanse us from our sins. Purify us, dear God, our hearts and our minds. Let's start fresh and new in You right now. Father, You have all of us. We live this life on this earth solely for You. If we live it for ourselves, it's in vain. Dear God, help us to be disciples to our worlds, to be that light that shines to our worlds. May we not live as fools, dear God. May we not be that, not even one. May we be that person who has received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, because we have asked Him into our hearts, and now we live a life that is free from sin, because we are following Your word to the very best of our ability. So I pray that over each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus, may the conviction that comes within our hearts, may we deal with that. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We pray this in Your name alone. Everyone says, amen, amen, amen.